620 Patio, presented to you by The Pulse. We're going to play a quick song and we'll be right back with you.
Now that it's all said and done, I can't believe you were the one to build me up and tear me down like an old abandoned house. What you said when you left just left me cold and out of breath. I felt if I was in way too deep. Guess I let you get the best of me. Well, I never saw it coming. I should have started running a long, long time ago. And I never thought I'd doubt you. I'm better off without you. More than you, more than you know. Slowly getting closer. I've got this really over. I'm finally getting better. And now I'm picking up the pieces. I'm spinning all the pieces. Putting my heart back together. And walked away. There was nothing I could say. And when you slammed the front door shut, a lot of others opened up. So did my eyes, so I could see that you never were the best for me. Should have started running a long, long time ago. And I never thought I'd doubt you. I'm better off without you.
More than you know.
Welcome, Nick B.
Double L for me. Oh, I wish that
Hello and welcome everybody to the patio. Tonight, as you can hear by our song, we are talking about divorce and kids. I'm your host, Shane the Bald Guy. With the Moses.
I'm Lucky Me.
Hey, Lucky. Hey, welcome Miss Susie to the panel. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, I am good. Glad to be here.
Glad to be here. We lost Scott somewhere along the way there.
I think he's here.
I'm just driving.
There we go. We also got Scott on the panel. Welcome, Scott. I think everybody on the panel went through a divorce as kids. So
this is right up our alley.
Yeah, right up our alley. So
now I have two divorces under my belt, but only one child.
Right.
And how many?
I have two divorces under my belt with six.
So I'm kind of a pro
at this one, if you will.
One of the things we wanted to talk about, of course, is, you know, the kids.
Nick B has four ex-wives.
Four ex-wives?
Yep, he's got me beat.
Wow. He's not. It sounds like you have advice on divorce, just maybe not marriage. Sorry, Nick.
Well, you know, I worked with a guy that he was on wife number seven when I worked for him, and he always said that he got over a divorce by getting married again.
Well, that can be true. That can be true. I read somewhere when I was doing some research. And it said that one of the ways to stop divorce is to stop getting married. Because, of course, you know, divorce rates just keep going up and up.
Right.
I think my sister's kids bought into that because all of them have procreated, but none of them have ever gotten married.
Oh, well, see, there you go. I did ask my son, he's 20 now. But I asked him today, you know, kind of some questions about, you know, us being divorced, me and his dad. And I didn't date pretty much the whole time he was growing up. So he really was never exposed to
Welcome, George.
Other partners in Welcome, his parents' Ashley. Life until Jane. And now his dad just got married, too. So it's a lot of change for him, even though he's an adult. He's still kind of reeling from it. But one of the things that I asked him, you know, I said, if you could give advice to a kid going through divorce, you know, what would you tell them? And he said he would advise them to try and keep an open mind. And it's going to be hard at first, but they will be okay. And that it isn't their fault. And I said, that's really good. You knew that when we were going through this, that, you know, was it you? And he says, oh, yeah, you and Dad always made me feel like I was number one regardless. And so I feel that that's very important. That was one of the things that we strived to be successful at, is not arguing or fighting or talking about each other horribly to our son. One of my theories was, you know, that's his dad, and I chose him for that, and it could be my son's hero. Who am I to take that from him? I didn't want the bitterness and the hate and the frustration to come out when I talked about his dad. So right. I always just refrain from talking about his dad, you know, yeah. Mostly. That was one thing that he now appreciates that I did. And it really wasn't that hard. I mean, because it happened. I'm not going to sit there and dwell on it forever and ever. And,
right.
And, you know, I had too much going for me to worry and stress about the anger and the resentment and
exactly
all of that. So I felt it was important that Toby knew that it definitely wasn't his fault and that he came first for both of us. So that would be my advice to parents with kids going through divorces.
Yeah, that is a good advice.
Because I know the your kids were young, first one.
My first one, yeah, my kids were young. They were 3, 5, and 7, mm-hmm. I think. So that was hardest on the youngest.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Well, Toby was 3, but he just went with it.
Well, I think at 3, probably didn't remember some of that, but you remember if there was any trauma involved.
Yeah, I guess you would.
You probably would remember that. So.
And Toby came with me.
Right.
Versus going with Dan, so that might be.
If I was to go back and do it again, some advice I'd give myself. Almost directly to somebody else.
Oh.
The divorce. Okay. So yeah.
That was.
I'd probably stayed single
dad for a while. Because you could have handled it.
Oh yeah.
Completely.
No problem. But yeah.
But things happen for a reason. Because if you didn't, then you wouldn't have the other three.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that they say, you know, toddlers in divorce, it's mostly emotional for them.
Yes.
And because they definitely don't know what's going on, they just know that one parent's gone.
Right.
So that's really hard, and they might start throwing like temper tantrums or throwing blocks or toys or, you know, something kind of like their way of acting out.
Yes.
Because they don't know how to deal with what they're feeling because they just don't even know what's going on. So,
right.
So that would be hard for a little. So the 3 to 5-year-olds, they're actually old enough to blame themselves.
Oh.
And so you have to really let them know, you know, that it's not them. They can sometimes have nightmares. Did your kids have nightmares? And some can bottle up their emotions. They can be the opposite.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they'll reflect their parents' reactions. So, you know, if you do talk negatively about your their other parent.
Yeah.
They could then treat that other parent that way.
Right. I made it a point not to talk negative about my exes, but they didn't, in return, I guess.
Yeah.
Did not play the same.
Well, no, they usually don't.
Yeah.
Especially since you're dealing with females, because they're more emotional and they are less likely to just accept what has happened.
At least in my.
Move on. Yeah, true. It gets harder as they become school aged and even into their teenage years. A lot more acting out. They believe they could save their parents' marriage.
Welcome, Wilhelmina.
They can blame some of the parents. They can actually have physical reactions,
right.
Like stomach aches, headaches, things like that, because they get so stressed out and so upset that it actually can manifest.
That was my youngest did that.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do to deal with that, because you don't want to just, you know, oh, you're not that sick, just get over it. But, you know, so how did you deal with it? How did you?
For Austin, it was a matter of I was his rock.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't like going for the visitations because his dad and his girlfriend, when he did have them, would badmouth me. And Austin would get upset. And they'd get mad at him because he would call home. You know, because he wanted to hear my voice and be reassured.
Mm-hmm. That sounds a lot like my sister and my nephew.
Yeah. But like with mine, drugs played a big part in it, because my ex-husband was a druggie, and the chick he ran off with was somebody he met at rehab on the third try at rehab. So there was that component in it.
Yeah.
And when we got divorced, Austin was going through the DARE program and the realization of stuff that he seen. Or when dad would take him, that he wasn't really spending time with him, that he was getting taken on drug deals. You know, and that hit him really hard. I wound up having to put him in counseling and things because he blamed himself that I should have known and all that, all the emotions and then being angry at his dad. And it just kind of compounded through the years. It was in our relationship, it was bad and we had to get a restraining order and still his dad would try to contact them. And it, even now they don't have a relationship at all.
So your divorce, was it a sudden thing or did you have time to kind of talk with the kids and prep them?
Not really. I mean, they knew there was problems. My older kids especially knew what was really going on, that he was into drugs and there was issues. Mm-hmm. Police visits looking for him. But no, when he got out of rehab, I think he was home maybe 2 or 3 days and then all of a sudden called all the kids and everybody in the room and announced that he was moving out. And, couldn't live with us anymore and he wanted a divorce. And he moved in with this chick he met, like I said, at rehab. And the next week when he came, because he wanted to pick up Austin for a visit, he was covered in hickeys. He was attacked by Hoover. And says, oh no, I didn't leave mom for another woman.
Right.
Really?
Now you're lying to me.
Well, he was lying all along anyway.
Right. And how old were your kids?
Austin was 11. My oldest was a freshman in college. Let's see, Holly would have been junior year of high school. Now, see, my older two were from a different marriage, so this was stepdad for them, not their biological dad like he is for my youngest.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. What are some positive impacts of divorce and remains?
Okay. Right?
So some of the positive impacts of divorce, that could be a good thing.
Yeah.
You get out of an abusive and toxic environment.
True.
And you're getting the kids out of that environment as well.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Right. Right.
If you are the custodial parent. I happen to be the custodian parent in my divorce, my first divorce. So,
then you were the supporting parent in the second marriage.
Yeah.
And yes. You wouldn't have gotten them if you divorced, so you stayed.
Right, right, right.
So, for those kids. See, isn't he a good name?
Thank you. There's tension, intensity degrees, decreases within the household. Kids felt less,
more relaxed.
And development of adaptability and resiliency, and empathy, self-sufficiency, learn all that, being a single parent.
Yeah.
If you get a divorce or just getting a divorce, you enable yourself independence. So,
I would think that the kids would learn that as well, the adaptability. Because, going back and forth to different households.
Right.
There's different rules. There's different, if one of the parents is vegan and that's how you got to eat that weekend.
Yeah.
Or,
I knew of a case like that. My friend's son, he lived with his mom and she was vegan.
Yeah.
And when he came down for the summer, he was on hamburgers and pizza all summer long. It was steaks and everything. So,
give it all to me. So, I could see that the kids would learn that as well, which, right. can be a positive trait for sure.
And I think it gives you a better relationship with your child.
If you have more one-on-one time.
Yeah, and even your parents or your own siblings.
Yeah.
Reconnect with family. Sometimes marriage takes away from family.
Yeah, it does.
So those are some of the positive impacts of divorce.
Yeah.
Some negative ones, though. You know, difficulty going to sleep, bad dreams, can't stay asleep, don't want to sleep alone, depression, lying, need, wanting to feel needed. And you might, you know,
and needing to feel wanted.
And needing to feel wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely on that one.
Right. Maybe some, you know, loss of interest of activities.
So you used to play on teams. Right. Yeah, they might have played on team sports and they just don't have that desire anymore. Depression can add to that a lot. Or they think, oh, well, now my dad's not going to come to my games because my mom and dad are divorcing. Why should I play?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Or destructive behavior, like you said.
Yeah.
Aggressive behavior.
Yeah.
Experience some of that. Feel like they're guilty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and also loss of faith in any kind of relationship.
Well, I do think too, you grieve the loss of a relationship, a partner.
Right.
Where I've been widowed too, it's not quite as extreme as that, but you still do go through the grieving process. I mean, it's.
Yes, it does happen.
Absolutely. So, you know, obviously, you know, there's this, you know, you guys are definitely going to get divorced. One of the things to do is talk to your kids. It's, you know, some parents think, oh, I'll protect them by keeping this from them.
Right.
But
they could do them more harm at that point.
Yes. Absolutely, because they need to be part of the process so that they can also learn, you know, what's going on. If there's if they're old enough to contribute, maybe they can contribute to the parenting plan.
Right.
You know, so keep your kids, you know, be open and honest about it. You know,
try to do it as a couple.
Most of the times that's not
what happened.
Like the reason I got divorced was infidelity, and amongst other things that obviously led up to that and all of that. But you know, that was not going to be one of the things I told my son.
No.
You know, I mean, he was 3 when we divorced.
Yeah.
Or he had just turned. No, he was 3, just turned 4. And, you know, I just told him, you know, mom and dad are just better off apart. We do better parenting when we're apart. We just don't get along anymore. So we're just better, you know, with this family dynamic. And he accepted that, you know.
Right.
Now, as an adult, he knows. And he can make his own decision and conclusions. And
right.
He has his own relationship with his dad and with me. And I didn't. He has no resentment to either of us. And he was too young to really keep him in the loop. But I was as open and honest with him as I thought he could handle at 3 years old.
Right.
You know, Daddy has a different place to live now.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, okay. So, you know, that was that.
Yeah.
But I agree with, like, stuff with adultery. Uh-huh. Don't tell your kids or go into intimate details with them. That's not healthy for them. It's not healthy for you to be doing that to them.
Exactly. And then that puts such a burden on them knowing that. It's just unfair. You know, I just, you know, kids don't need to be brought into adult situations like that. I mean, obviously they need to know mom and dad aren't going to live in the same home, you know. Your brother may be going with dad, but you're going to be with me, but we'll switch and, you know, whatever. I mean, but don't tell them stuff that, I mean, that could really devastate a kid.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Unless they don't even understand what that is.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, obviously always reassure your children that you, both parents, still love them. Talk about how, what's going to happen from here. Keep them informed throughout the process, because field trips and outside activities and holidays are going to be different.
Yes.
So explain to them how it's going to be different. You know, one of Toby's things I asked him, I said, what was the best thing about being in a divorced family? He goes, two Christmases and two birthdays.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, because he found the positive. And, you know, we still switch. I mean, he's 20 years old, and he can make the decision where he wants to spend his holidays. But we still switch Thanksgiving and Christmas. And whoever has him for Christmas gets him for his birthday, because his birthday is 4 days after Christmas. So it's just, it works, and right. We then know how to make plans.
Welcome to the panel, Larry. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I think in the rule, like for aunts and uncles of affected children, like in separations and divorces, like my older brother Chuck and my ex sister in law Brooke, when they got divorced, you know, they share a son together, which is my nephew. You know, I usually have made it a point to promise myself not to choose the mom side or the dad side, because I really want to try to be as like neutral minded as possible when it comes to nieces and nephews.
Yes, absolutely.
Because in other words, you really want unity.
Yes, and that's a good thing that you're there for support, because during that time, everybody is going to need support in one way or another. It
could be like, if God forbid my younger brother Ty and my current sister-in-law Jill, if they got a divorce, I wouldn't side with either of them, because that would be out of respect for my nieces. Even though, you know, I have three nieces, and Ty and Jill share two of the three nieces together.
Right. But if you know something is going on, that you can take the kids overnight one night, just so that the parents could work on some things or pack some things or whatever. You can be,
you know, or
so
watch what
support.
You say in front of them and how you say things.
Yes, that's very, very good points.
Because even if you do have strong feelings, it's best as an aunt or an uncle to hold your tongue.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Great advice. So one of the best things that you could do, is, you know, obviously that reassurance, get familial support, but keep a daily routine. Make sure they get up and they go to school. Make sure they still, you know, eat their dinners and do their homework at a certain time and bath time, and, you know, keep those routines, and then work with the other parent to say, you know, okay, he needs his, you know, his medicine at this time or whatever,
right,
so that he stays on that routine at least somewhat. One of the hard things for me was, like when I had Toby, our dinners, you know, would be about 5 o'clock. Well, Dan, his dad, they didn't eat till like 7 or 8 o'clock. Well, Toby's diabetic, so that would always cause his sugars to go kind of wacky. So, you know, we talked about it, and I said he has to eat at the same time every night, and he was like, oh yeah, I never really thought about that. So we worked together on improving his routine, and of course now he just takes care of himself. But you know, there were times that we had to agree on stuff even if it didn't fit into our own plans,
right?
So that it was about Toby, making sure he stayed healthy and stuff. So, it's okay if your children get upset. They have to learn to process in their own way.
Right.
Just be there for them, talk to them, try and get them to talk to you. Get outside help if you need to. There is so many services that are available, even online information. Obviously, if domestic violence has been in the situation, you definitely want to get professional support that help, you know, get you guys back on the right track, or to help the kids deal with all of that, because they've probably seen things that they shouldn't have seen or heard things that they shouldn't have heard, and so they can get help. Like Susie,
there are definitely support groups available out there.
Absolutely.
And other resources.
You know, Susie got help for her son because of things that he was exposed to. And so, you know, just,
you know, like doctors or licensed medical,
absolutely,
you know, professionals.
Yes.
Who there's specialize
social services. You know, obviously you don't want to get, you know, say how bad the home is and stuff like that. So, you know, be careful around those social services type of people, because you don't want that type of
investigation.
But you can still have counseling.
But you don't want to find yourself on the receiving end of a DFACS or Family and Children Services investigation.
Exactly.
Or the court-appointed special advocates or CASAs, or as they call them now, guardian ad litems coming in the picture.
Yes, very true. So just be careful.
Well, from their standpoint, too, if they're trying to get out their anger and frustration and it's at both mom and dad, they don't want to talk to either parent.
Right.
They want to talk to somebody that's not going to share it back. They're not going to find out what the kid's true feelings, because sometimes we do it as adults. Yes. You'll vent and you'll say things you really don't mean just because you're angry and you want it off your chest.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they're the same way.
Yeah. And they may be mad at both parents and don't know how to express that to them. So they just act out. Mm-hmm. So yes, great advice.
It's like, and if you think the five stages of grief only applies to when a loved one or a friend passes away, the five stages of grief also applies to situations like this, whenever parents are going through a divorce, you know, and they're like broken family and dysfunctional family situations going on.
Right.
Because you're going to go through the denial. You're going to go through the anger and the bargaining, the depression, until you reach the acceptance.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you, Eric. That was awesome.
Yep. That was great. I didn't ever thought of it that way, really. Actually.
No. Yeah. Anytime you are moving away from something or changing, you potentially can go through that grieving process.
Yes.
That's very, very important.
And another one, too, it's not always just talking badly. Mm-hmm. But it's having them keep secrets.
Yeah.
Or be the informant about the other parent.
Yeah. Don't put your kids
That puts a strain on them like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. Now I have a funny story with that, because my ex-husband, when he did have visitation for a while, would do that to our son and would question him, "Is mom got guys coming over? What's mom up to?" And all this stuff. Well, even with a divorce, it took me a year and a half, 2 years before I started dating. And I wouldn't bring people home to meet my kids. I'd go meet them for dinner out.
Right.
And the one time I finally brought somebody home, the kids all liked him. He was a nice guy. I'm still good friends with him to this day. But it was funny because my ex-husband would ask Austin. So Austin came up with this huge, elaborate story about this guy.
Welcome back, George.
And some of it, there was truth to some of the stories, but it was like totally exaggerated. And it was funny because he finally, stuff started coming back when we do the exchange, and he'd make all these snide comments. And I'm like, why is your dad doing this? And he'd start snickering. And he finally let me in on it. That he was just totally blowing things out of proportion or making things up.
Because that's funny. And it's cute because he was probably doing it, one, because he was tired of his dad asking, two, mm-hmm. he wanted to be put in the middle, and three, he was probably protecting you somewhat. And that's so fun. That is so cool.
Yeah, she's dating 50 guys.
Yeah.
But then again, he did it as a...
He's huge. You should see all the stuff he buys me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was that and the fact that, we went and stayed at his house. And you know, he has his own private airport. And I got to go in the man cave and out there where the plane is. Right. And mom couldn't go. He'd never been to the guy's house.
Right.
But he, you know, he had it all planned out. But he did it as well years later when Brett and I got together. And we've jokingly talked about it on the air, about the fact that the first time he met my boys, he came down for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Well, my oldest one, Thanksgiving was going to be at his house for the first time. And I get the call before we're heading over about, "Oh, mom, don't forget to bring this. And oh, by the way, dad might stop by." And I was like, oh, great. So the may stop by was, he's coming.
And he's staying for dinner.
We got a, And I felt like it was a setup to me. Mm-hmm. Brett had fun with the whole situation.
Right.
And that because I ended up getting stuck sitting between him at dinner.
Oh, good.
And then the kids would bring up stuff just to poke at their, you know, their dad.
Yeah,
Brett. No, they would go, hey, Brett, you know, Brett, mom was telling us that you were in the rodeo.
Oh.
Or, hey, you know, and it was bringing up stuff like that. You know, such and such rock star.
Right? Oh, gosh. Of course, Brett is like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that one's true, mm-hmm. too. Oh, gosh.
So it doesn't stop, you know, when they get older.
Right.
So, what do you think? I'm only asking this because it kind of goes hand in hand. What do you think the easiest state is to get married in?
The easiest state?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
probably Nevada.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Or Oklahoma.
Well,
what's that?
They, of course, don't call Las Vegas Sin City for nothing.
Exactly. Right. When we were in, that's, of course, where we got married. When we were in line at the the marriage license place. There's this huge,
Clark County City Hall
mosaic thing on the wall that says the wedding capital of the world. And of course, we had to get our picture in front of it. So, did you know that the worst state to get a divorce in?
Utah.
Vermont. 450 day waiting period.
450 days.
And then it just says, "Nuff said."
Nuff said.
That's the worst state.
Illinois, because I originally was going to get divorced there,
uh-huh.
and they had a waiting period of a year.
Yeah.
And it's like, or at least at the time I was going to.
Kansas has a.
And it's like.
Right. Well, one of our guests, Mr. Rhode Island Red. May appreciate this one. The second worst state is Rhode Island. It says divorcing couples need to wait 510 days, but they can get a fault divorce for wickedness.
Wickedness?
Yes.
Huh. Pickle sauce down here in the chat says my divorce finalized Monday. Congratulations, I think.
Yeah, hopefully this is a good move for you guys.
It was the worst experience of their life and 2.5 year process. Wow. Yeah, it took me 2.5 years to prepare.
Right.
So, my heart goes out to all the people that tried getting divorced during COVID, that their files got lost and it got prolonged for a really long time.
Right.
Well, there have even been stories of people like Ben Stiller and his wife, can't think of her name, but she played Marcia in the mid-90s, like Brady Bunch movies, that they decided just to withdraw their divorce and stay together for the kids.
Uh-huh.
And then Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman were supposed to be getting divorced, but they just decided to stay legally separated.
That does happen.
For
a number of reasons, too. It could be medical reasons or insurance purposes.
I don't want to pay for it.
Right.
So, them decide they want to be divorced and pay for it.
Mutual, too. I've seen a situation where the people didn't get divorced, but her boyfriend moved in with them, and they lived together all as one. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, whatever floats your boat, works for you. So
one of the best states to get a divorce in is New Mexico.
New Mexico, like that.
Because hardly anybody lives. No, I'm teasing. it is one of the 10 cheapest states for filing fees.
Hmm.
It's number one for the lowest average attorney fees, depending on if you need one. And it's one of 8 states with a minimum waiting period of only 30 days.
Hmm.
Or less.
Right.
Sometimes, if there's no minor children involved and your spouse agrees to waive the waiting period, your divorce could be made final the same day it's filed.
Oh, interesting.
New Mexico.
Well, if you agree on everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Well, here in Georgia, you know, if you get a divorce and they're all, and the married couple did not produce any children, you have to run a legal notice for like 30 to 60 days in the newspaper. And if the other party doesn't respond, then the judge can grant you your divorce. But if you have children involved, the other party has to be present or else.
Yeah.
But, and I think another thing about when it comes to marriage and divorce, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, like if you're in like a financial situation or you really have serious doubts, you got to remember one rule about marriage and divorce that, and more so about marriage, that marriage is not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not.
It takes.
Because you got to know what you're getting yourself into.
It takes a lot of hard
It
work.
Does take work.
And just for anybody that's listening that's ever been in a domestic violence situation, if you ever have to take out a restraining order, they'll waive the filing fees for the divorce.
Oh.
Oh.
Did I know that?
Oh, that's good to know, too.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But check to make sure it's in, you know, if that is true in all states, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, here's a fascinating family separation
statistics.
Yes.
Say that fast by
Statistics. Yeah, and this is unfortunate too because I kind of, you know, I'm a whatever, born in the 1970. At least my parents were. Oh, wait, they're still married, mm-hmm. still together. And I know they went through problems. Mm-hmm. I witnessed it in my own eyes. So I know they went through problems, but they stuck together. They figured mm-hmm. it out. They worked. So, but this is some up-to-date stats, okay, if you will. I can't say that word, I'm going to say stats. 37.6% of all marriages in the U.S. end divorce, in divorce in the United States. Roughly, yeah, almost 38, round up. Roughly 1 in 2 children will see their parents' marriage break. That's almost a 50%. 21% of children in America are being raised without their fathers. Do better, dads. Come on. It's not really that hard. It really is. It's easy to be a dad. Children are more likely to experience behavior issues if their married parents decide to divorce when the child is between 7 and 14. So, I experienced a little bit of that myself. There were some behavioral issues, and we got through it. We're getting through it still. it's working. And children with divorced parents are twice as likely to drop out of high school. So,
part of that rebellion.
Yeah.
If they're at the high school level. Right. Yeah.
So here's children and divorce statistics with family and divorce. 50% of all children in the United States will witness the end of a parent's marriage. An additional 50% of children who witness a parent's divorce will also see the breakup of a parent's second marriage. Let that one sink in.
Mm-hmm.
That
would be you.
Yeah, that would be me. Exactly.
Yeah, my second marriage is where my son came from.
So right. Yeah.
I don't even know if he knows about. Well, he listens to.
And see, my kids did that because my ex husband got remarried and got divorced in with a year and a half.
Thank you, Missy. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So if you have twins and triplets are 17% more likely to witness a divorce than children born without multiples. So if you're a single kid, you've probably got a better chance of getting a divorce.
I wonder if that's just because of the stress of raising that many kids. I mean,
you definitely know,
having 6 kids under the age of 10
at one
time.
I mean,
it's hard.
yeah. It's super hard. And this is interesting. A daughter is nearly 5% more likely than a son to see a parent's divorce. I don't know why that's true, but. And then spouses with 3 daughters are 10% more likely to get a divorce than spouses with 3 sons.
Really?
Yeah, women stress us out.
I know. My mom had three girls, and my parents divorced.
Yeah, yeah.
So. I just graduated high school, so I'm the youngest, so we were all basically adults. But.
And also, children born out of wedlock are 24% more likely to see their parents. So, and then the last couple here, children of divorce are 50% more likely to marry another child of a divorce.
Well, yeah.
I guess they got something in common.
Well, yeah, that, yeah. And if you're 50% of the population,
right,
have divorced parents, just statistically,
right,
the formula would right. make it to where those 50% would yes. probably be drawn to each other.
Yeah. And children of a divorce are 35% more likely to have a divorce.
And some of us
not. Yeah. I like to think that a lot of, at least most of my children, they have learned from my mistakes, mm-hmm. I believe. And
that's what Toby, when they, I interviewed
they are all, I think, going to be maybe, you know, not all of them, but. Hopefully they'll stay together. I'd like to think.
Yeah.
90% of divorced mothers have custody of their children.
Yeah.
So, I guess.
And see, that's funny because my oldest son got custody of the kids.
Right. Right. It definitely does happen, mm-hmm. especially if they're yeah. the stable parent.
Right.
It did, you know, in the 80s and 90s, of course, but.
Yeah. Which is good to see that they don't just give them to, no offense, but to moms, just because they're moms,
right.
that they've given them to the better parent.
Absolutely.
Welcome, Britt. How are you doing this evening? We're just talking about some divorce and statistics here. 79% of custodial mothers receive child support. Well, I'm glad they do. I, on the other hand, well, the next stat, under 30% of custodial fathers receive child support. I never received a job. So I had to buy some clothes and maybe some school supplies, but never received a dime in actual cash.
Yeah, see, my son didn't get, and still doesn't get child support from his ex-wife.
Right. I
got child support, but I gave it back. He'd pay the state. And it'd come to me, they'd take their fee out, but I'd pay him the full amount back. I did that for more years than I can remember.
Got a big L.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, is that because you didn't need it? Or just...
He needed it more than I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He did not fare well from the divorce.
Well, I know, and some of these judges do outrageous amounts that the other spouse, how are they, you know, everything's going to child support. What are they supposed to live on?
Exactly. And he's got Social Security disabilities and VA disability. I mean, he just did not have the money. There were months where he yeah. didn't have food. So I have a soft heart and I would give it back to him because he needed it more than I did.
And good for you. I mean, really.
She's got a big heart. We're working on some of that.
Yeah. He wants me to harden up, change, tap into my inner Beth from Yellowstone.
Yeah, take him to the railroad station.
Right.
Sorry, that's what I want to do with my ex, but that's beside the point.
So,
that's a whole nother show, my ex.
Right.
Way.
So since you shared all those statistics, that lends to the probability that in a second marriage, you're going to have blended families.
Yes.
And that's where one or both.
Think the Brady Bunch.
Yes, like the Brady Bunch.
Yes, where one or both of the
his, hers, and theirs
that get married have kids, and they're bringing their own kids into that marriage situation.
Yes. That's what happened to me.
Yes.
See, that's our situation.
Yes. So
I have two boys and a girl, and he has two girls and a boy.
So due to differences in age, personality, development, It can be very challenging. I know just from the couple years that I've been married to Shane, he has faced several
good evening, GP.
Challenges with how I parented Toby, which is very different from how he parented his kids. So there's times that things are really touchy, you know, of that subject.
We're about ready to split, you guys, but I'll see you around.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. We appreciate all your advice.
Thank you.
Bye, Eric.
You have a good night. So we're still working on those things. I know my son's an adult. I do know that, but he's still at that age where he's trying to figure out what he wants to do and figure out what he wants to be. We were fortunate enough that when we were struggling with that, we were able to join the military, and that straightened us up right now. So he can't. So he's floundering a little bit. I was a single mom for many, many years, so I do have that. Okay, well, we'll take care of it. Well, we'll take care of it. Well, we'll take care of it. It's okay. We'll take care of it. That's my stance on it, where Shane's like, let him figure it out. Get him going. He's a man. He can do this, you know. And so sometimes we kind of conflict on that with the blended family thing. But it's just, it comes down to differing parenting styles. And it's common, very common, for step parents to actually, that becomes a conflict and a button moment in a new marriage is how the other treats their kids. So, you know, something just to watch for when you have blended marriages.
Welcome, Bella.
And then, of course, there can be tons of conflicts between the children because they're from different households and
yes.
They come in together. So your three and her three probably fought tooth and nail several times. But now that they're adults, they get along. Most of them get along fairly well with each other.
Yeah.
So, one of the best things is to not have or don't set unrealistic expectations. It's not going to be the Brady Bunch.
No.
There's going to be conflict.
Marsha.
Yes. So just know it's not like TV. It's not like that. Don't set these expectations to where you can't meet them. Not going to be instant love. Everybody's not going to get along right away. So just know that, blending families is a challenge, but it can be positive, beautiful, and especially when you give so much love to somebody else's kid. So.
Yep. Is that all you got? Never fixing to wrap up anyway. We've been on for an hour coming up.
Yep. So do you know the most common reasons for divorce?
Oh. Could you read it?
I can. The average length of a marriage is about 8 years. January is considered divorce month. People start looking for information about divorce right before the new year starts. And then they contact an attorney when they're back in the office from the holidays. January 12th through the 16th seems to be the magic week for filings for divorce, which is kind of funny. So the reasons people are getting divorced in the U.S., lack of commitment, 73% of divorces are just because of the lack of commitment to each other. 56% say they argue too much. 55% is infidelity. I thought that would be higher, but.
I would have guessed that would have been higher.
Yeah. 46% said they just married too young. So now they want to sow those wild oats, I guess. 45% because they can't deal with unrealistic expectations. 44% lack of equality in the relationship.
Yeah.
That probably goes back to the new take on the modern woman
show
you can download and listen to.
Yeah.
41% lack of preparation for marriage.
Right.
I didn't know that was a reason. I mean,
I don't know. I guess if you.
Well, I wonder if it's along the line you got married just to get out of your parents' house.
He won't play Monopoly for me. With me.
Yeah.
Monopoly. And then 25% because of domestic violence or abuse.
Yeah. GB says in the chat, I was in the Army and seeing my sergeants and officers getting treated like animals because they're men during their divorce made me realize how messed up family courts are. That is very true.
Very true.
Very true.
Yeah, and I personally, because long line of military, I was military myself. Two of my three husbands were previously military. That experience in and of itself adds a huge complexity and dynamic to a marriage that can be very difficult to understand and to get through, especially if one of the spouses is not military. My heart goes out for you. It is a very difficult thing. Issues are real. And I hope you're okay.
Yep.
Oh. So yeah, I think that kind of brings us to kind of our closer in.
All right. This has been the 620 Patio presented to you by the Pulse. Please like, follow, download, and join our fan club. Whoa, that got a little loud there. Excuse me. Email feedback coming to 620patio@gmail.com. We'd like to thank got some serious settle down there, Monzo. Settle down. Okay. We've added some few countries. I don't have an updated list. UK, Mexico, Canada, Germany, Australia, Sweden, the Philippines.
But I can't
say the statistics. And I cannot say stats. This show brought to you by Clear Sky Lodge, Unana Train Depot, Unana Ferry, Global Denver, and MyPillow. Stay tuned. Coming up at 9:30 p.m. Central, Pulse Variety Show on Wednesday night with an all-star panel. And don't forget to check out Tools, Toys, and Things Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be on the lookout out there for Wrong Kind of Podcast. Look out for Outside of Normal, the King of Overnight Podcasting, Tick Radio, the Old Man's Podcast, and the Amber May Show. And watch out for shows that pop up. Scott out there, Short Pants Robert, and all the rest of the Podbean out there. And remember, if you must smoke, smoke salmon. Have a good night, everybody. We're out of here.
Yep. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for coming.